In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In kind of reading over the I always print out the readings the front end of the week and then read them very early on and sort of use them to pray and meditate and during the week. And I must confess that I printed out the readings on Monday and I read the Martha and Mary story and I'm thinking, ooh, here we go. Why is this even in the gospel? It occurs in Luke where Jesus is doing all these miracles and all these great things are happening and people are having conversion of heart, and then we get this little story about Jesus going into somebody's house and you know, one of the sisters is running all over the place trying to be hospitable and the other one sitting there, and Jesus sort of talks about his experience. You have to wonder, you know, what exactly is going on. And as the week progressed, it dawned on me the simplicity of that story, and to the relatively simple message that I think Jesus is trying to teach us in this very short gospel reading. Early on in my priestly ministry, in fact, this summer I celebrated 35 years of priest, and when I was ordained in 81, my first assignment, I was a young Roman Catholic Franciscan priest, full of energy and vim and vigor for the job. And three of us decided that we would go into the inner city of Cincinnati, and we got a little home there. Wasn't so little. It had 14 rooms in it, but an old abandoned house essentially in the neighborhood, and we moved in there, three priests, young priests, and we decided we were going to live among the poor, and we were going to work the streets of over the Rhine, which was a very rundown part of the city of Cincinnati, the highest incidence of violence in the whole city, in fact, in the whole state. And we just basically walked the streets and lived among the homeless. We didn't have much of a job description other than just be there among people who were homeless, and we brought homeless individuals to live with us in the house, and oftentimes went through DTs in the living room with them, and it was lovely. Not sure I could do that now, but back then, you know, that was like 35 years ago. So you wonder, why am I telling this story? One of the things that we actually did have on a job description and had to show up for was the Friars had a school in the neighborhood for over 100 years. My father actually had gone to grade school there, St. Francis School. And one thing that I did twice a week was run a little group. It was a first through eighth grade. I ran a little group of young kids, sixth and seventh grade kids. And we met every week, and all we did was kind of sit around in a sort of in a circle, and most of the kids were all of them were from the neighborhood. Like I said, the neighborhood is very run down, and one day I was walking down the center street of the neighborhood called Vine Street, sort of the main street in Cincinnati. If you picture yourself walking down this side of the street, was like four or five stories high of red brick buildings, first floors of which were all, you know, abandoned storefronts with boarded up and broken glass all over the street. And in the evening, the rats, you could actually see them running across the street. And so you're walking down this cavernous street and you know, four or five stories of red brick and glass. And it wasn't pretty. It was really a really very difficult place for people to have to live, obviously. So I was walking down the street, and all of a sudden I hear from maybe the fourth story up on the side, I hear this little voice. And I hear, "Father Bob," coming out, you know. And it's like, is that God that's speaking? Or, you know, "Father Bob, Father Bob." And she starts yelling. It's a little African-American girl who was part of our little group. Most of the people in the neighborhood were very poor African-American folks or Appalachian folks who came from the mountains to try to find a job in town. So on the other side of the street, there's a reply, and a voice comes out and says, "What's a Father Bob?" So began to think, you know, exactly, well, what is a Father Bob? You know, And this one's over here going, he's our father. Well, obviously, you look at me and I wasn't. And this one's like, he's not your father. He can't be your father. And they get in a little argument. He is our father. He's not your father. You know, and finally it's, he's our father at the school. And it's like, and all of a sudden, the sentence that rings through my head the last 35 years of my priesthood is, she says, he's our father at the school. He listens to us. And I'm thinking, that's pretty serious, right? This really cute little young woman, girl, and her friend are arguing over what's a father, Bob. And basically, this little sixth or seventh grader defines me as someone who listens, which for me was a huge honor, you know, in its simplicity. And I'll never forget that weird interchange that happened in the middle of Vine Street. Every time I go back home to Cincinnati and walk down Vine Street, I hear voices, you know. And so in some senses that connected today to the reading in what for me is a kind of a powerful way. In the first reading from Amos, we hear Amos. Amos is a very short book, but a very profound book of oracles and poetry. And the oracles typically are against nations given from Israel, but from Jerusalem, but against the nations of Israel, and basically cursing them for three things: for not doing justice, for not listening to the needs of the poor, as Amos puts it, and for not listening to the word of God as it came to them through the prophets. So a condemnation of the nations for not listening, right? For somehow separating themselves from the word of God as it came to them through the poor, through injustice, and in the context of their own experience and trying to work with each other. A condemnation of not listening. And so Amos ends this. I don't know if some of you might have got caught on the part where everybody ended up bald, but as one of the condemnations, right? But, you know, people were going to starve, bodies in the streets. It was like a horrific, you know, again, why do we read this on Sunday morning? It doesn't make anybody happy. But the very last paragraph says this. This is Amos's condemnation of the nations and curse. Of course, in the end of the book, you got to read the whole thing. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and they're saved. But the time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. And then he says, not a famine of bread or of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And so the most profound curse that Amos could talk about as a prophet, could put upon the land, was not being able to listen, to hear the word of the Lord. And so I think that theme of just being listeners is what's happening to us today as we read these readings. Of course, in Paul, the second reading, which I'm not going to talk about a whole lot, what's happening there is Paul is really talking about the nature of God. You know, and we're supposed to listen to that, of course, in all ways as well. But we're set up to I think, take a step back and see, how is it that we are with each other? And the Martha Mary story gives us a really clever and simple little mnemonic, right? It's like Martha and Mary. One's frenetic and all over the place and doing great stuff, trying to be hospitable, making sure Jesus is comfortable. After all, he just came in from the road. He's been teaching. He's been taking all kinds of abuse from people. You know, it's that context in Luke. And Mary plops herself right at his feet and just simply sits there and makes herself available to Jesus. And I don't think this is about, it doesn't say anything about Jesus giving this big theological teaching or talking about, you know, how you're supposed to be in the world. He gets ticked off because Martha's all frenetic all over the place when Mary chose, as he said, the better way. She just made herself available to whatever it is that would come from the mouth of Jesus, from the mouth of God, right? And I think that that's kind of what we're being sort of called into looking at today in our own lives. How is it that we are with each other as individuals? But even more broadly, how is it that we are with all of creation? How is it that we stand in relationship to each other and to all those people out there and to all, literally all of creation? And I think Jesus is telling us that there's a time, a real critical and important time for us to just stop and to just be present and to just listen to however God wants to speak to us. St. Bonaventure, a very early Franciscan and a theologian, used to say, and of course, you know, Franciscans are all into this creation stuff. he used to say, a stone can't talk, but a stone can speak to us if we listen. Again, that connection that we have with all creation, that we so often can run through or take advantage of or just simply not appreciate or oftentimes even abuse. And I have to believe that something about the violence in our world, which God knows if you turned on the TV this week, and I'm sure you did, you know, it's out there. And we can be violent with each other in so many ways, by what comes out of our mouth, by the ideologies that we spew. We can tear and rip at the core of what brings us together as created beings of God. And I think that is that's the time when Amos is saying, you need to stop and listen. We need to stop and listen to each other, to the poor. We need to stop and listen to the injustice in the world around us, and we need to stop and be present, as Mary did, to the Word, with a capital W, that Jesus who is and does live among us in such a powerful way. I had another sort of a profound experience that just came out of the blue as a gift from God. I was walking through the lobby in some of my last days at Lord of the Streets, and I come to know a relatively young, probably in his late 30s actually, a homeless guy. His name is Randy, and he had been a researcher in biochemistry at the University of Houston, and came down with schizophrenia and ended up alienated from his family and on the streets. And did not, very severe schizophrenia, very disorganized thought patterns and huge issues with hallucinations and delusions. And so some days Randy was pretty cool and you could actually communicate with him. And he'd say the most profound things at Bible studies. And some days he was like, doo-doo-doo, you know. He's like, Randy's not home today. And one day Randy came to me, and it was one of those days when Randy, it appeared to me, wasn't home, right? And he said, Father Bob, can I talk to you? And I was like, sure. So Randy came. I took him into my office, and we sat down, spent a whole hour with him. And it was all in the business, the psychotherapy business, we call it like word salad. It was like just all over the place. There were no connected words, much less connected sentences. And it was an hour of that, and I'm kind of probably looking at my watch, you know, thinking, ooh, this ain't going anywhere. And at the end of the hour, or the time that we spent together, he started crying. Okay, where is this going? And as coherently and cogently as you and I might speak, he said, "Father Bob, thank you for listening to me. I can't remember the last time someone listened." And I just believe that the gospel today sort of calls us into that. That stance that we have in relationship to the world, whether it's our husband or our wife or our child, whether it's someone we love deeply or someone we feel very alienated from, no matter what their color, creed, their belief, their gender identity, all the kinds of things that are in the news these days that we use in some ways to divide us, we are called to be one with each other as brothers and sisters, and somehow in a non-judgmental way learn how to be present to all creation, which includes people. You know, it might include the people that we really don't, it not might, it does include the people that we don't even like. And that's why when we gather around this table, we are called into unity with each other. And that can maybe feel easy in a room where, you know, we share a lot in common and we probably know each other. And there are obviously some differences and things like that. But for the most part, we pride ourselves in being Episcopalians. And people can argue with each other and still love each other. And you know, the Episcopal Church has a wide embrazo. But it's bigger than that. You know, it really is. It is somehow being called by the simple story of Martha and Mary and by the profound message of Amos to somehow learn to listen to each other, right? Like we might listen to that stone that can tell us about creation and about God. And so we gather around this table this morning, friends, probably most of us, to each other, and certainly consider ourselves friends to Jesus. A Jesus who makes sense of our sin and somehow brings us into union with each other every Sunday at this table and feeds us for our journey. But we gather also around this table in the context of a world out there that needs so much the simple message that we are charged to bring to that world. That message of brotherhood and sisterhood to all of creation. And that message that somehow plays itself out, not always in going out there and fixing everything, but a lot of times in just being transformed by what we are blessed to be able to be in the presence of. And somehow being light and life, and yes, Jesus himself in that context. I think that's the challenge of today's gospel. Such a simple message, but sort of a profound word from God, like that little girl on Vine Street on the fifth floor hanging out the window on a hot summer day, you know, when she says, "He listens." That somehow becomes our vocation as Christians in a profound and powerful way. It is, I believe, what all of us are called to give. In Jesus' name.